The world is tremendously interested in this matter of success. Authors have made millions of dollars writing books on how you can be successful. And interest was never higher than at this moment in history on how to be a real success. Well, our message this morning deals with the matter of success in this way. For we're trying to share with you the Bible's formula for successful living. For there is a formula in God's Word. Summed up very simply, the formula is this: keep the kingdom first. And our biblical validation for that statement this morning is found in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and the 33rd verse. It is our text for this message, the Bible's formula for successful living: keep the kingdom first. Matthew 6 and 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Did you hear that word from God this morning? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto you. Are you successful in life this morning? Do you classify yourself a success? Are you happy? Well, let's be honest. Are you really happy? If you could give that answer and no one would ever know what your answer would be, would you say this morning that you're really a happy person? Are you a fulfilled person? Do you feel fulfillment in life? Now, I'm not talking about how much money do you have or what position you have in life. Are you happy? Are you fulfilled? Are you successful in God's I. Now, the Bible has a plan. You can choose what kind of a life you want to have. You can choose what kind of a steward you are going to be in this life. We've been talking a lot about stewardship. This month of February is the denominational month for emphasizing this matter of stewardship. We've been approaching it from various angles. We'll do so again for a while this morning. You can choose what kind of a life you want to have, what kind of a steward you want to be. We're going to look at three categories this morning. They go like this: suffering or surpassing, stingy or selfless, satisfied or seeking. This first area of concern, it deals with God's plan for successful living: suffering or surpassing. Now, where do you fit into that category this morning? If you were to classify your lifestyle, would you say that you're suffering or that you're surpassing? It is my experience down through the years in dealing with many, many people that the problems a lot of people have are problems that there's no need for them to have. They're suffering in life, but they're suffering needlessly. Now, I don't know if that applies to anybody here this morning, but it just could be that some of you who are sharing this worship service together this morning, you're not a surpassing steward, you're a suffering steward. Now, some of this suffering that we do, there isn't much we can do about it. It's just the way we're made. Some of us worry more than we should. Some of us suffer more than we need to. We can't seem to do anything about it. You know, like people who are afraid to fly. Now, there are a lot of people that they just absolutely suffer when they have to take a ride in an airplane. They're just scared to death, and they can't seem to do much about it. I heard of a fellow the other day who was just terribly frightened of flying, and they couldn't convince him that he ought to fly. Wherever he went, he took the bus, the train, or a car, he did not fly, would not fly. But his friends kept pushing the issue and telling him, you really ought to fly. It'd save you so much time. You really ought to do it. You won't be as frightened as you think you you might be. Just go ahead and fly. And so finally, with all of their encouragement, he took his first flight and reported back and said, I was doing all right. Doing all right. My first flight. Till I happened to look out the window, and there was a big old buzzard flying right by the window of the plane. Said that wasn't so bad, but as he got right up to my window, he looked in and winked at me. And then I knew I was in trouble. There's some things we can't do too much about, just the way we are. But there are some things we can do to avoid needless suffering. Now, if you find yourself a suffering steward this morning, there may be a reason for it. Perhaps it's because you've been disobedient. It is said of King Uzziah, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And I believe the same can be said of us. We need not be suffering stewards. We can be surpassing, overcoming stewards if we will meet the conditions set down by God and obey His laws. Maybe your problem this morning is you have been disobedient to God. Well, if you're suffering as a result of that this morning, I shouldn't wonder. How do you mean God is punishing me because I'm disobedient? Not necessarily. What I'm saying is the consequences of your disobedience to God may color and affect your entire lifestyle. Some of the things you wouldn't even suspect that are causing you a problem are doing so because you are living in disobedience to God, and that's not a very good way to live. It causes us tremendous guilt and tremendous pressure on the inside, and sometimes we can't even identify it. Are you living in accordance with God's laws this morning? There's some very primary things He's told all of us to do. It's the beginning. It's the start. First of all, He said, you must be born again. Now that's His first primary requirement for everyone. This was not just something that He uttered there for the first century people. That was a word that has come down to us from God that all of us must be born again. What do you mean by that? Well, I mean, there must be a new life for each one of us. And that new life begins when we give ourselves to Jesus Christ. When we confess our sins. Well, I'm not a sinner. Well, if you aren't, you're the first one. For the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everybody. That's me. That's you. That's everybody was born in sin and had a need for forgiveness. That's God's law. Has there ever been a moment, a time in your life when you have confessed your sins to Jesus and said, I'm sorry for the sins that I've committed, for those willful things that I've done that I've known when I did them. I knew they were wrong, but I went ahead and did them anyway. Has there ever been a moment in your life when you've asked Jesus to forgive you for those sins? When you've asked Him to come into your heart and life so that you could live out His life and be a Christian, not just in name, but in reality, a real born-again Christian? There is a second happening that must occur. The Bible talks about it as being filled with the Holy Spirit, being sanctified holy, a second experience of grace that comes to the man who's already been forgiven for his sins, who says, Jesus, I not only want to give you my sins, I want to give you my life. I want your Holy Spirit to come to me. I want to get off the throne of my life. I want to quit being number one all the time. I want to get off the throne of my life and let the Holy Spirit come and be the Lord of my life. That's a law. That's a law of God. The law reads, be ye holy, for I am holy. But there's more. The law says, I not only want you to be saved and be converted, I not only want you to be filled with my Holy Spirit, but I want you to be faithful. So often there are those who have an experience with Jesus Christ, and then they act like that's all there is to it. From now on, it's all automatic. Not true. There is the walking with God. There is the faithful obedience every day of your life. You say to me this morning, you're a suffering steward. I ask you, have you been obedient to God? Have you kept His laws? When we do that, we become a surpassing steward. And I don't mean by that we may get everything we want, but we can have everything we need. So often we suffer because we live beneath our privileges. There are so many who do not have all they need because they haven't even asked God. They haven't even brought it to God in prayer and talked to Him about it. There may be some of you right here this morning. You have some real particular needs, some things you don't have an answer for. But you haven't brought it to God. It's not occurred to you to bring this to God. You're living beneath your privileges. You're suffering needlessly. The word says you have not because you ask not. I believe that Jackie Peterson would still be crippled today if she hadn't decided to become a surpassing steward. Jackie Peterson was the wife of our associate pastor, Reverend Bruce Peterson, several years ago. They're now pastoring our first Church of the Nazarene in Saginaw, Michigan. While they were here, Jackie was involved in a very serious automobile accident. It looked for a time as though it would take her life, but she lived. That was miracle number one. But even after surviving, they discovered that because of the massive damage to her hip, that she would likely not ever be able to walk properly again. She had double vision. She had a slur to her speech. And that night she came to service, she had to be helped from the car into the church. It was a night when, because there were several needs and several people who wanted to, we opened the altar, took special time in the service to ask if there were those in the congregation who felt they wanted to come and pray for healing, that they would just come and we'd pray for them as the Bible says to do. Are there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray the prayer of faith. And we just decided we would do that as we have done from time to time as needs have presented themselves. You say, does your church have a big ministry in healing? No, not really. We just feel it's one of the many things we do as a church to pray for the healing of those who have needs. Are they always healed? No, they certainly are not. But sometimes they are. And that night, after we followed the biblical admonition and prayed for Jackie and others who had come to pray for healing, the service had concluded and she was standing down here. And her husband came and said to her, well, honey, do you believe that God has healed you? She said, well, I believe that he can. He said, well, honey, if you believe that he can, why don't you believe that he has? She said, well, all right. I'll believe that he has. And they started to walk to leave the sanctuary. She said, Bruce, the pain in my hip is gone. I'm not limping.
that quickly. God had touched her, healed that hip, restored her vision to normal, repaired that damage to her voice until her speech was as good as ever. I was with them just a few weeks ago, and she said, "Oh, Paul, I want you to know, this summer we were at the International Youth Congress in Switzerland." She said, "I was one of the only women there that was able to go on a long hike through the mountains with the men, and one of the very few who survived." I said, "Jackie, you don't use good sense. You mean to me you were out there climbing in the mountains and the whole thing?" She said, "Yes, and I never had a minute's problem." I believe with all my heart, if Jackie Peterson hadn't decided she was going to try to be a surpassing steward, she would still be a suffering steward. She could have settled for suffering. And listen to me carefully. Sometimes we must. Sometimes we must settle for suffering regarding physical ailments that come to us. But to those of you whom Christ has not healed, may I say to you, you can still be a surpassing steward. For you can live in expectation from day to day that God will heal you. And I can promise you this, though he may not heal you while you continue to walk this pilgrim pathway, if you remain faithful and walk with him to the end, my friend, you will know complete and absolute healing from every physical infirmity that day you stand and meet him face to face. For the word tells us when we see him, we'll be like him. Perfect. Perfect. Joseph knew about suffering for a time. But the word says, in due season, his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. What was his secret? He walked with God. The late Dag Hammarskjöld, the former General Secretary of the United Nations, once said, "We act in faith and miracles occur. We have proved it so in this church." Now, it's your choice this morning. You can be a suffering steward if you want to be, but God has made provision for all of us to be surpassing stewards if in our lives the kingdom always comes first. The New Testament proves the point again. In essence, Jesus said no earthly father wants his child to fail. Well, what about our heavenly father? Do you think he wants you to fail in his eyes? No, he does not. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask you? Keep the kingdom first, and you can be not a suffering, but a surpassing steward. So much of it is in your decision. The things that come to us in life, we have a decision. When difficulty comes, we can say, "Now this that has just happened to me is going to blow my mind, boggle my mind, drive me right up a wall, here I go." Or we can say, "Well, I have a choice to make. I can go up the wall, or I can appropriate the grace of God in this situation to make me a surpassing steward." The decision is yours. You can have it however you want it. You can suffer if you want to, but for me, I want to be a surpassing, victorious steward, for the word of God has promised us that we can be more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes. Surpassing or suffering. If you want to be a real success in life, then you'll have to learn how to be a surpassing steward. But let's get a little more pointed here this morning. Are you a stingy or selfless steward. Now, one has said, if we have the kind of piety that includes the holy book and the hymn book, but would exclude the pocketbook, the question of the sincerity of our piety must be raised. Martin Luther said it kind of like this: every man needs two conversions, the first of his heart and the second of his pocketbook. And actually, I'm not sure you can have one without the other. Now, Jesus had a lot to say about stingy and selfless stewards. Of all the parables that Jesus told, more than half dealt with the subject of money and material possessions. He's interested in those who always keep the kingdom first because he knows it will be a factor in their happiness. Now, we're talking about successful living this morning. We're talking about being happy, and I'm trying to help you gain a biblical perspective of how to be a happy, successful person. Now, believe it or not, you will be your happiest when you're giving yourself away. Now, God is the creator and the owner of all that is. He's a generous God. He wants to reward you. And you make a choice. You determine your own reward. If you want to be a stingy steward, then you receive the reward of a withered soul. But if you want to be a selfless steward, you receive the reward of God's abundance. The word says Abraham walked with God and was called the friend of God, and he was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. God delights in rewarding his children. He does it in different ways for different people. But stingy or selfless, you choose your reward. Oh, I'm not trying to say here, if you are a selfless steward this morning, that you won't face opposition and failure and sorrow. God's best people have faced all of these things. But as one man has said, opposition is faith's opportunity. Every man I know who has succeeded spiritually in life has had to overcome opposition. The stories of the lives of great men are filled with obstacles that have been conquered. And opposition will come, but to the child of God, opposition is but faith's opportunity. All hindrances become small when compared with the resources of God. The word says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Oh, don't be a stingy, cringing steward. Learn to be selfless with God. It's not easy to do all the time. Tests come and we wonder if we're going to be able to make it, if we're going to have adequate resources for the job. But if we'll have faith and believe and continue our selfless stewardship, we can enjoy God's best in our lives and know real success. But it starts, my friend, by putting the kingdom first. Have you formed a partnership with God in all areas of your life, or are you holding back, being stingy with the resources that he's enabled you to obtain in the first place? It all comes from God. And he can collect any time he wants. If you don't believe me, just check the cemetery. Sooner or later, everything goes back to God. We come in this world empty-handed. We go out of this world empty-handed. No matter who we are, he owns it all. But you avoid this conflict when you learn to always keep the kingdom first. Stingy or selfless, what kind of a steward are you? It takes many things to be a selfless steward, and we've talked about some of these things in earlier messages, but one area that's rather basic is this matter of tithing, giving 10% of our income back to God. Listen to the words of a former communist. He writes, "When I was a communist, I gave 50% of my income to the work of communism. After I became a Christian, it was a long time before anyone suggested I give 10% to the church. And And then they were apologetic, saying, I probably couldn't, but if I could, it was the thing to do. When I was a communist, I was expected to give all my time after work hours handing out literature and other work. Now, when I volunteer time for the church, people talk about how zealous and earnest I am. It's just part of keeping the kingdom first. Are you a tithing steward this morning? Some say, but is it biblical? Yes, I believe that it is. I believe that giving is basic to stewardship. Back in the time of Jesus in the area of Palestine, those who would go to the market for grain went through a little custom. They not only carried their container for the grain, but they carried a cloth with them. They put the cloth down on the ground, then they put the container on top of the cloth, and then the merchant would pour in the grain. When it looked to be full, then the buyer had the privilege of taking that container and shaking it so everything would settle down and there'd be room for more. He could press it down, he could shake it, and in the process, some of the grain would fall out of the container and onto the cloth. Then they'd fill it again until it was filled to overflowing. He could shake it down, press it down as many times as he wanted to. And then when they were through, he not only had the grain in the container, but he was able to fold up that cloth and keep everything that had spilled over. And Jesus must have been thinking of this when he said, give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give to you. When you become a giving person, the scripture tells us we also become a receiving person. I'm not trying to tell you to make that your motive this morning, but it simply expresses the law of the kingdom. Christ-like giving does bring abundant returns in various forms. The Apostle Paul recognized this spiritual cycle and consequently encouraged his fellow Christians to be generous. He said, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And this isn't just a New Testament practice either. I wish I had time to share with you the fact this morning that they were tithing not only under the law in the Old Testament, but they were tithing before the law in the Old Testament. You want to know, is it biblical? Yes, I believe that God teaches in his word that it is biblical to bring our tithes unto the Lord. And let me ask you this question. Will a man rob God? Let's be honest, when the heart becomes right with God, it'll affect our giving just as it does all other phases of life. And I ask you this morning, do you think that we as Christians under grace, under Christ, can get away with giving less to the work of God than the old Jew gave under the law? Stingy or selfless? You make the decision. But I encourage you to be successful. Be happy. Learn to be selfless. Learn to be a selfless steward. We won't have to worry about it if we'll just remember the kingdom always comes first. But the final category of stewardship for our consideration this morning, and I don't really have time to go into this at all, just to say, are you satisfied or are you seeking? That satisfied steward is the one who's willing to settle for minimums. He's not reaching out. He's not pressing on like the Apostle Paul, pressing on to new heights of spiritual victory. He's happy to settle. He's satisfied. He'll just settle for the minimums. But the seeking steward is one who says, you know, I just can't get enough of God. I'm going to pay any price. I'm going to do whatever I need to do to have God on my life and on my soul. I'm seeking for even better things than the wonderful things that have already happened to me in my life. Martin Luther said, I've held many things in my hands, and I've lost them all. But whatever I've placed in God's hands, that I still possess. I knew a layman who always held an executive business position. He was one of the busiest men I've ever known. Busy as he was, yet he made time to serve his Lord. In his local church, they couldn't afford to have a minister of music. They had to settle for a volunteer, and because there was no one else, he volunteered. He didn't know a note of music, but he spent hours with charts given to him by musician friends that would tell him when a song was written in so many sharps or so many flats, it would tell him what key that song was in. He would sit by the hours preparing the music for the worship services of his church. You'd have thought he was making a presentation fit for Carnegie Hall. He gave it the best that he had. He taught a Sunday school class of adults, though he didn't ever finish high school. He knew of his inadequacies, so he bought commentaries and studied hard to make his class interesting and meaningful. And though he traveled widely, always 50,000 miles a year by automobile and thousands more by plane and train, yet he always made time for prayer meeting on Wednesday night. He always made time for Sunday school on Sunday morning. You could always find him in the worship services morning and night, before and after he was the music director. And miss a revival meeting? Why, he wouldn't miss a service when the church was having a revival for anything in the world. He shared his home, he shared his food for Christian fellowship and outreach with literally hundreds, I believe it would amount into the thousands of guests, from alcoholics to ex-cons to corporation presidents. He always gave more than 10% of his income, and when he died, his tithes were paid in advance. There were no unmended fences. There was instead a testimony upon his lips, praising God for his great faithfulness to him. And I tell you this morning, in my eyes, that's Bible living. That's successful living. That man was my father. And it's a little difficult for me when busy laymen tell me I'd love to do it, but I'm just too busy. When I look back and see a hard-working, under-educated man who somehow made time to always keep the kingdom first. What kind of a steward are you? Suffering or surpassing? Stingy or selfless? Satisfied or seeking? Why don't you be what you really want to be? Be successful. Remember, it happens when the kingdom always comes first in your life. And you know, the world has yet to see how far the work of God could be advanced if his people would really keep the kingdom first. If we truly love as Christ loved, we'll keep it first, and our giving will be spontaneous. Our day presents an unprecedented opportunity for evangelism. And legalistic giving will not get the job done. For I believe this morning with all my heart, this generation can only be won to Christ as his followers exhibit the same kind of loving and giving our Lord expressed on Calvary. Love without measure and giving to the uttermost. Let Calvary be our standard and loving gratitude to God our all-controlling motive I can assure you this will bring glory to God, new resources to the church, and measureless enrichment to our own hearts. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you really want to be successful, just remember, always keep the kingdom first. Will you stand with me for our closing prayer? We invite you to remain standing following the prayer for our choral benediction. Dear Lord, this morning we are reminded that the theme of our church for this church year is deepening our discipleship. We believe that it's through services like this one you've given us this morning that we learn to do exactly that. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will make us successful in the eyes of God, and that you'll help us whatever we have to do to always keep the kingdom first. We know you wanted it that way because you knew that we'd be happiest if this were true in our lives. We want to be happy. We want to be fulfilled. We want to be successful. And we believe you'll make us all of these things if we'll keep the kingdom first. In the name of Jesus Christ, who died that we might inherit the kingdom, we pray. Amen.